Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our reading will be from Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole army of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is in the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all the prayer and supplication. To end, keep alert with all the perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak it.
Dressed for success. Albert Einstein disproves that the clothes make the person. He has a great story about his wife would often suggest that he dress more professionally when he headed off to work, probably at Princeton at the time. And he says, "Why should I? Everybody knows me there." And when the time came for Einstein to attend his first major conference, he said, "Please, just dress up a little bit." He said, "Why should I? Nobody knows me there." We know the phrase dress for success, and if you like late 80s pop music, and I know a lot of you out there do, there was a Swedish power duo called Roxette, and they had a song called Dress for Success. I'm going to dress for success, shaping me up for the big time, baby. But if late 1980 pop is not your language, we know the idea of fashion and or business and what you wear and the importance of that in the culture. We see quotes like from Prada that says, "What you wear is how you present yourself to the world," especially today when human contacts are so quick. Fashion is instant language. That's Prada. Or also Madeira says, "Dress yourself to define yourself." Or someone once said to me, "Dress for the job and the life you want." Well, the Apostle Paul was an influencer well before that was a job in our popular culture. And based on the scripture for this morning, he would agree with some of these words. Dress for the life you want, but for him, that life is in Christ. But for him, the clothes made the Christian, and in order to live the life that we're called to, he says, you need to dress for success in this life of faith and accessorize in this life of faith as if your faith depended on it. See, the armor of God, which is our passage for today, is a metaphor that reminds Christians about the reality that living the life following God is something that's a struggle. It's, you know, the ideas and ideals is a struggle, and Paul gives us the armor or the outfit which describes both protection and power available for us as we try to live out our faith. The full armor of God that we are called to put on has the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And daily suiting up in this armor or daily getting dressed in these abstract things is really about mindfulness, about intentionality. It's what it all boils down to. But before we get into this whole fashion breakdown, like the red carpet for the Oscars, we have to get the base and foundation straight, because Paul begins by saying, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. That we have to remember that God is the source and the provider for each of these things. God is the gift and the giver. That we don't have to waste time and energy trying to fabricate things that we need for this life of faith, but to look to God, who, like in the Garden of Eden, seeing Adam and Eve needing clothes, he gave them animal skin clothes after they tried to cover up not so well with leaves. God wants to us to protect it and well, and has the power to do that, and that's where this comes from. So that's important to get as our base. And now we move into what do we wear? The belt of truth. And it says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. I once made a belt out of watches, but it was a waste of time. Boom. We all know that the belt is so important because it's both functional and for show. Paul begins here with the idea that truth is the thing that holds it all together. Some translations, like the NASB, says, having girded your loins with truth. Now, loin is not really a common word in our vernacular. It refers to the lower back, but it's not really used. We don't really use it so much anymore in these days. But in ancient days, people would wear long robes that would get in the way of work or get in the way of fighting. So they'd wrap up the long draping material, and that was girding up your loins. It's like long wedding dresses. Imagine, you know, like the movie Runaway Bride, where the bride's trying to run away and gets their feet caught in the long dress. Or me with my black robe sometimes when I'm trying to go upstairs and I kind of start to stumble a little bit. Having hold of the truth of who God is, and the truth of God's love in our life, and the truth of God's gift of forgiveness, this allows us to be even more mobile in the world. We're not held back or hindered, proclaiming, serving, doing all these different things. It frees us up like the belt held back the robes. And it makes us so we don't get bogged down by a world that says things we hold to are not right or acceptable, especially the idea that love is not freely given and must be earned. That's one that trips us up, but this truth, the truth of the gospel, is that's not the case. We are loved without earning it. The Lord knew to be successful in this life of faith, we have to wrap ourselves in truth. Regardless of the culture or time, the Lord has been seen, you know, taken, you know, and all these other things don't hold us back. God knows we always need to remember the truth. As someone once said, every piece of full armor of God is attached to the belt of truth. If you don't begin with truth, you'll never defeat the enemy. And Jesus said, God's word is true in John 17:17. Okay, so we have the truth, the belt of truth buckled on. Now we need the breastplate of righteousness. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, Ephesians 6:14, and righteousness just means being made right. Sometimes scripture refers to righteousness that Christ gives us, his righteousness in 2 Corinthians. Sometimes scripture refers to righteousness that God carries out through us, like the righteous acts of the saints in Revelation 19:8. In the daily living of faith, both of these varieties of righteousness, they protect our heart. See, in the armor of Roman soldiers, we're going to do a lot of Roman military history today, but both of the breastplate served as protection for some of the most important parts of the body. Underneath the breastplate is the heart, lungs, and the organs that are necessary for life. They were like the bulletproof vest of the time. Therefore, if they didn't wear that, they were vulnerable to attack that could result in instant death. We have a natural one of these. You can hit it. We have this thing called ribs. So why does Paul call it the breastplate of righteousness? If we don't protect ourselves with righteousness, we open ourselves up to attack from the evils of the world, and we can fall into bad stuff. To be righteous means to obey God's commands, obey God's rules, and live in a way that is honoring to God. Psalm 106 says, how blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Doing what God says, or seeking to do what God wants us to do, that's righteousness. Abraham listened to God, and the Bible says it was credited to him as righteousness when he left everything he knew with his family and said, God said, go into this land that I'll show you. And he did it. And God said, I credit that to you as righteousness. Unfortunately, sometimes we let other things influence us and get in the way of living an upright life. When we decide to live based on anything other than God, and we make that decision that is harmful to ourselves and to others. So how do we put on the breastplate of righteousness? We start by knowledge of who God is, what God is like, and the scripture helps us in that. And that helps us as we read to better understand what it is to live a righteous life. God most of the time is pretty clear on what he wants us to do. I think we find that in our life. It's pretty clear what God wants us to do, and sometimes we want to do it, and sometimes we're not so sure. We know what the loving, caring God thing is to do for most situations, but in the moment it's not so easy. We see it as a burden or something that holds us back, but when we listen to God and do what God calls us to do, that's not the case. It's freeing for the most part. It frees us from worrying what others will think, and pleasing God is simpler than pleasing everybody else in our lives. The world and the ways of the world will tempt us with all kinds of not helpful entanglements, but the breastplate of righteousness protects our vital organ, our heart. But obedience to God is protection for our heart and from being wounded by things that are not helpful to us. All right, so we got our belt, we have our breastplate of righteousness, and now on to the shoes. Gospel of peace. Well, none of us are Imelda Marcos here, just one pair of shoes needed. The sandals of peace, shoes of peace. That sounds nice, right? Doesn't that sound like a QVC home shopping network? Why don't you slide on the sandals of peace? During the time of Paul, the shoes worn by the soldiers of the Roman Empire were designed to, you know, keep the feet healthy. During long marches, the soldiers would march everywhere, and they were different than what was worn by people in everyday life. The shoes were constructed from three layers of leather, and they were pulled and laced around the ankle. They would protect against blisters and foot diseases. It's a lot like, if you like that movie Forrest Gump, Lieutenant Dan was in Vietnam was very, very specific about clean, dry socks to protect feet from diseases and things. So Roman soldiers knew the importance of footwear. And in addition, they would sometimes put small spikes or iron nails to make them almost like football or soccer cleats or spikes. But for Paul, the shoes of peace provide what is needed to live a life of faith, which is a firm foundation. A soldier's shoe formed the foundation. You know, the soldiers relied on walking, and it was their primary means of transportation. But it needed to be comfortable, but it also needed to be protective. And they also needed to step into battle without thinking about how sure their footing was on difficult terrain. It wasn't always flat, and it wasn't always, you know, it was bumpy and hilly and all these. They fought in lots of different areas, so they had to have something that was ready for that. This oneness with the Lord, with God, produces peace, and that's what the hymn, the church's one foundation, is Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what this peace is that we're talking about. One of the easiest ways for shaking us loose from standing firm is to tempt us with worry. Because sometimes what steals our peace or robs us of peace is worry. Anxiousness and worry robs us of that. But the gospel of peace keeps our feet anchored and standing firm and reminds us that everything will be okay. Because peace is an attribute of God's very person and character. Because peace in Greek means oneness or wholeness. And the gospel, which means good news, is the forgiveness from God and access and to the oneness with God through Jesus Christ. A solid belief and surrounding in the gospel of peace brings hope to our life. Hope should, you know, keeps us helps us keep us unmoved and pointing towards our goal. And doesn't matter if we come upon hard times or rocky terrain in our life of faith, these shoes of peace will keep us ever steady. Ever each step more and more towards God. All right, belt, breastplate, and shoes. But we also need a shield, the shield of faith. When Paul wrote this, Roman soldiers carried shields that were made out of heavy animal hide, and they were really large. They were about the size of a door for the most part. And it was not just defensive, but you could also use it to kind of push opponents as well. And they would kind of have this thing where they create a thing called a tortoise, where the shields would kind of protect them from spears and arrows and things like that. You can see it from lots of different movies around that time. I think even like the Greeks did a similar kind of thing. This was especially helpful to protect against arrows that were launched from walls of cities that they were attacking. Shields were made of wood, but they were covered in hide. And what they would do is, if the enemies were shooting flaming arrows, which the scripture talks about, they'd douse them with water so the arrow would hit the shield, wouldn't usually go in, and it wouldn't be able to catch fire because it was wet. Clearly, a shield was a vital, important thing to the soldier at the time. It was a blanket of protection. It means, in all circumstances, it was the first barrier against the enemy's attack. And that's the same thing for us. Faith protects us. It's the first barrier from attack. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The life of faith is hard because when the other shoe drops, or when hardness, or when the waves of hardness come, like when a storm comes, which we're experiencing soon, we need the faith to carry us through. Often shields were painted with identifying marks, and so as a Christian who take up the shield of faith, it identifies us with God. People see our lives lived out in faith, and they know who we are attached to. So Paul says, take up the shield of faith as you go into the world. And remember that we set our faith on God's character, and we focus in on God's character and not on our circumstances around us. That's the witness of Scripture over and over again, is it's not circumstance that we base anything on. It's God's steady character. That things around us change at a crazy rate, and an astonishing rate, but God is steady. And if we hold that faith out in front of us, the shield of faith, no arrows of doubt, worry, or fear can hinder or harm us. That next is the helmet of salvation. Helmets protect the old noggin. And Paul says, don't forget to protect your head. We have to protect our minds from the ways of the world and patterns of bad and unhelpful thinking. We do this by remembering salvation, that we're saved by God's love. We have to remember that God loved us so much that he saved us from death, from destruction. We must keep this ever close to our minds and on our thoughts, because we do this and it creates gratitude. And sometimes we're not, and having those things and having it ever ready is, and close to our minds, like I said, helps us with gratitude. There's a great story about one Christmas day, there was a farmer who decided to go to church, and he was one who didn't go to church, maybe for Easter, maybe for Christmas. And the sermon that day was the text that says in Isaiah 1:3, the ox knoweth his owner and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Isaiah is saying that people are, you know, kind of dumber than animals. After church, the farmer returned home and stood among his cows, and one of them began to lick his hand. And in a practical demonstration of the sermon he had just heard, this strong farmer, he began to weep, and he thought, God did so much for me, and yet I never thank him, and my cow is more grateful than I am, who I only give grass and water to. And so that's that idea of gratefulness, of like, wow, we're so grateful for other things, but then we forget to be grateful to God for so much of the things. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So remembering God's character, God's faithfulness in Scripture is a way in our life to protect our minds. And with the helmet of salvation, remembering that God's saving love. Belt, breastplate, shoes, shield, helmet. We're almost dressed for success, but we need one last thing, the sword of the Spirit. The explanation of this piece of armor is right in the verse. It's the Word of God. It's the only piece of armor that's both defensive and offensive. Greg Lowry says, when we're tempted, the most effective weapon that God gives to us as believers is the sword of the Spirit, which is God's presence for us. Jesus modeled this so beautifully when he was tempted in the wilderness. He responded each time to the devil's tempting and all the different stories with just quoting Scripture. When the devil tempted him three times, he responded with God's truth and God's word every time. So we need to keep that close to us as well. Not as a weapon to use against other people, but a way to show who God is to the world. The Bible, like I said, is not a weapon. It's a map. It's a love letter. And it shouldn't be used, you know, for the quotes or the words as a weapon to cut, but a thing to inspire to great heights of love. Well, those are the outfits and the accessories that we need to live this life of faith. What I loved about studying the Roman military was this one thing, and I want to leave us with it today, is that the Roman soldiers would always practice with really heavy wooden swords, like swords that were way heavy, like very, very heavy, and they would do all the things that they were practicing with a wooden sword. And then when the time came to go and go into battle and all those things, after they'd practiced, they'd give them the metal sword. And what happened was the metal sword was probably about a third of the weight of that sword. And so they had practiced with this really heavy thing because they were, and so when the time came, they were like, I can use this sword forever because it's like much lighter than the thing I was using. Faith is like that. We have to practice these ideas. We have to put on these abstract items, these clothing. We have to dress for success every single day. We have to keep true faith truth, faith, peace, righteousness, salvation, the good news of our salvation, the forgiveness and knowledge of God and God's deep, deep love for us, kind of always with us, always practicing, so that when the time comes, when something arises where we need it, where we need that protection, we need that help, we need that reminder, we're ready. Like that Roman soldier who practiced with something so much heavier, it wasn't so hard or heavy when the time came. So let us strive to be a place where we can practice these things and support each other in it as we go forward. And God be with us as we go. Amen.